السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
آمين وإياكم. How are you?
الحمد لله بخير.
Can we go with our class? إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. We are on our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, and we are upon the discussions regarding our slaves, regarding our servants, regarding our subordinates, people who work for us, depending on the level of their connection to us. Some of them may be connected to us because we own them, as the slave may be owned, whether in the older times or at any time that it happens that one has a slave, such as when there was valid jihad battles, that an established system, well-recognized system of Islam declares, and then the POWs, the captives are obtained during those wars. Those people are slaves. And there were situations like this in the history of Islam and Muslims. Likewise, we had people who work with us who are, yes, not owned by us in terms of ownership, but they control for the lives of these people are with us. They serve us. They work with us. We only do not own them. Some of them would work with us as cooks. Some of them will work with us as cleaners, and some of them will work with us as gardeners and all other things, nannies, caregivers, and all others. Islam has taught us how to handle these kinds of people. The last discussion we had was regarding clothing them. In a chapter heading, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, "Uksuhum mimma talbasu." He picked that from an expression of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith. And we read the first hadith under that chapter in the last class yesterday. The hadith of Abu al-Yasar, Sahib al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ka'b ibn Amr al-Sulami. Ka'b ibn Amr al-Sulami. Ka'b ibn Amr al-Sulami. He explained that he was, radiallahu anhu, the companion who took down the flag of the Mushrikun on the day of Badr. Let's add it to the quiz questions we ask young ones regarding the companions. The person who took down the flag of the Mushrikun on the day of the Battle of Badr was Abu al-Yasar, Ka'b ibn Amr al-Sulami. And I hope that some of the brothers, when we name our children and give them kunyas, we will give Abu al-Yasar as from the kunyas. Abu al-Yasar was the one who took down the flag of the non-Muslims on the day of Badr. And Allah made it such that this companion, radiallahu anhu, he was the one who took over Abbas on the day of Badr. He held Abbas on the day of Badr. And he had other virtues, such as that Allah revealed verses of Quran regarding him to affirm forgiveness for him over a mistake that he committed, over an error that he fell into. And he ran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to ask him how to gain the forgiveness of Allah. A verse was revealed not just regarding him, but that verse became connected to the issues of Salah. And from that, we knew the virtues of Salah. And when his forgiveness came implicitly in that verse, the rest of the companions asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whether it was for him alone, Abu Yasar. But the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, bal huwa li'ammatin nas. He said, no, it was for everybody. That companion, radiallahu anhu, was the one who related with his slave in a manner that was the best way to relate with a slave, and that is the best way to relate with a slave. Give your slave what you wear. Wear your slave, provide the same clothes you wear. Yes, give them. This is from the best of what you can give them. Give your slaves the like of what you wear. This is the best. Al-musawat, equality. You give him, you eat, and then you give your slave the same food to eat. This is the best. But the minimum thing we have to do is that we have to give them food that satisfies their needs for food. These matters were explained yesterday. The basic thing is provide them food that satisfies their basic need for food. Provide them clothes that satisfies their basic need for clothing. And the rest of the other needs that they have, provide their basic needs as they serve you. But these companions, radiallahu anhum, they do not want to stay at the boundary. Because if you say, well, I have provided your basic need, you may begin to fall short of that basic. We all know it. When a student gets into the university to obtain a pass, 40% in many places, or 45%, that's what he begins to target from the first year in the university. If he is not careful, he's going to become expelled from that university. Those who target first classes, when they are not even sufficiently careful, they end up in second class. So if you target a pass, if you are not careful, you'll be expelled from the university. So if you target providing just the basic need for your slave or your servants or your dependents, you may end up failing. This was why this companion, radiallahu anhu, Abu Yasar, radiallahu anhu, in his own case, he gave his slave just exactly what he wears. He wore a part of what the slave will wear. He gave the slave a part of what he will wear. So radiallahu anhu, he depended on that statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَطْعِمُوهُمْ مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ وَقْسُوهُمْ مِمَّا تَلْبَسُونَ. أَطْعِمُوهُمْ. Feed your servants, feed your slaves, مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ, from the like or from it. Like we said, not exactly, perhaps. If you give exactly what you eat, that is the best. But let the minimum that you give be something that is delicious too, be something that is nutritious too. Not something by which you say, you can even find food to eat, you are not happy. Okay, it is not a privilege. Because if you do not provide food with minimal sufficiency for that slave, it will be taken from your salat, it will be taken from your zakat, it will be taken from your hajj, it will be taken from your umrah. It will be taken from your own kindness to your wives and children, and it will be given to that slave on the day of Qiyamah. That is the real reason why it is very, very necessary to move away from the boundary. Don't stay on the fence. Move away. أَطْعِمُوهُمْ مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ. Let them eat good food. Let them eat sufficiently nice food. If it is not exactly what you eat, or if it is exactly what you eat, there is no good that goes without reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go to hadith number 188. In it, Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Sa'id ibn Sulaiman, qala haddathana Marwan ibn Muawiyah, قال حدثنا الفضل ابن مبشر قال سمعت جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه يقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوصي بالمملوكين خيرا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوصي بالمملوكين خيرا ويقول أطعموهم مما تأكلون وألبسوهم من لبوسكم ولا تعذبوا خلق الله أطعموهم مما تأكلون وألبسوهم من لبوسكم ولا تعذبوا خلق الله. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith was documented from him by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah in this book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad from his Shaykh Sa'id ibn Sulaiman. So Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said rahimahullah haddathana Sa'id ibn Sulaiman, and Sa'id ibn Sulaiman has a kunya Abu Usman Sa'id ibn Sulaiman, the Shaykh of Bukhari in this hadith. He is Abu Uthman radiyallahu anhum. He said haddathana Marwan ibn Muawiyah. He said haddathana Marwan ibn Muawiyah rahimahullah, and he is reporting from Al-Fadl ibn Mubashir. Al-Fadl ibn Mubashir Abu Bakr al-Ansari. Marwan ibn Muawiyah rahimahullah was reporting from Al-Fadl ibn Mubashir, and Al-Fadl ibn Mubashir, he is Abu Bakr al-Ansari. He is the tabi'i of this hadith, Al-Fadl ibn Mubashir, one of the students of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. He is reporting this hadith from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, Abu Bakr al-Ansari. He said, reporting from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, that Jabir said that kana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yusi bil mamlukina khayra. Kana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yusi bil mamlukina khayra. Kana yusi, from what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would regularly encourage, from part of what he would regularly encourage, he would regularly adjure the people to do, he would regularly admonish the people to do, he would do it all the time. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوصي بالمملوكين خيرا. He would regularly encourage that the slaves and the servants are giving good treatment. He will always say, take care of your slaves, care for them, pay attention to them, solve their problems, alleviate their affairs, and all of this. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوصي بالمملوكين خيرا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would regularly adjure the people to care for their slaves. This is just similar to his statements regarding the women. He used to warn the men and adjure them to care for their wives and their household. Likewise, he would, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yusi bil mamlukina khaira. He will always talk about that the slaves should be handled properly. They should be related with nicely. He would admonish that treat your slaves, treat your servants well. And when he said that, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wa yaqul, he would also say that, at'imuhum mimma ta'kulun, provide food for them from the like of what you eat. At'imuhum mimma ta'kulun, provide them food from the like of what you eat. Wa albisuhum min labusikum, provide them dress from the kind of what you wear. Labus. We know Allah used that expression in the Quran when he spoke about داود عليه الصلاة والسلام وعلمناه صنعة لبوس. Allah expressed labus. The labus is ma yulbasu, what you wear. So here the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, albisuhum mil labusikum. Albisuhum, make them wear, dress them mil labusikum, from the kind of what you wear. Let them wear dresses. Let them eat food. Give them food. Like we explained earlier, if you give them just the same kind of food that you eat, it's nice, it's the best thing you can. But the minimum you can go before it becomes an act of sin is that you must provide them food that is of average sufficiency for them. This food is okay. This is the minimum. But the companions, like we've been saying, they were not remaining upon this minimum for the fear of falling into the error of not being sufficient. So they gave them just what they ate. If you do this, this is the best of what you can do. But what is compulsory that you must do is that you must provide a minimum sufficiency. But if you come to the level of al-musawa, equality, just one single pot, just the same rice and beans, the same rice and chicken, the same beans and yam, the same egg with yam, the same bread and tea that you eat, they eat from it. This is the best of what you can do. The same kind of material that you wear, you provide them. This is the best of what you can do. But if you cannot do all of these, be sure that they are properly taken care of. Avoid going to remain at the boundaries so that you do not become surprised on the day of Qiyamah that your good deeds will be taken and given to him to reach the level of his own sufficiency that you were supposed to provide him on the earth. That was why Abu Yasir radiallahu anhu was saying that, وَكَانَ أَنْ أُعْطِيَهُ مِنْ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا, that I should give him from the things of this dunya. أَهَوَانُ عَلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ يَأْخُذَ حَسَنَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, it is easier and better for me than that he comes and takes my good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. So it means we must move away from the boundaries. We must move away from the boundaries and provide good sufficiency. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kana yusi bil mamlukina khaira. He used to encourage, admonish, he used to adjure that goodness be directed to al-mamlukin, those that are owned, slaves, servants. Treat them well. And from the things that he would say, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that at'imuhum mimma ta'kulu, provide them food from the like of what you eat. Wa albisuhum min labusikum, provide them clothes from the like of what you wear. And then he will say, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wa la tu'azibu khalqallah, do not punish the creatures of Allah. وَلَا تُعَذِّبُوا خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, do not punish Allah's creatures. Do not punish them. وَلَا تُعَذِّبُوا خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Some of the people take virtue, they take pride in denying their nannies or their cooks or their servants or their drivers, or their gardeners. They deny them food. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, وَلَا تُعَذِّبُوا خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, do not punish the creatures of Allah. Yes, they are your slaves. Yes, they are your servants. Yes, they are your workers. They are your drivers. They are your subordinates. لَا تُعَذِّبْهُمْ, do not punish them. They are creatures of Allah. Allah who created them is merciful. He shows them mercy. And he places them under you. We shall come under this. So why do you go to punish the creatures of Allah? Do not punish them. Don't punish them with clothing. Don't punish them with food. It's just like a similar hadith that we had read in the past, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, irhamu man fil ardi, show mercy to the people on the earth. The ulama say it's not restricted to the servants who are Muslims alone, because these are also from the people on the earth. So when the Prophet said, wala tu'adhibu khalqallah alayhi salatu wassalam, do not punish the creatures of Allah, it is not also restricted to those amongst our slaves who are Muslims or our servants who are Muslims. It includes everybody who comes under our control. La tu'adhibu khalqallahi, do not punish the creatures of Allah. Inna Allaha kana bikum rahima, Allah has and has always ever been absolutely merciful unto you. Do not punish the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, he said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوصي بالمملوكين خيرا. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم would regularly admonish that goodness be directed to our slaves and our servants. ويقول, and he would say عليه الصلاة والسلام, أطعموهم مما تأكلوا, provide them food, feed them from the like of what you eat. وَأَلْبِسُوهُمْ مِنْ لَبُوسِكُمْ, and provide them clothing from the like of what you wear. وَلَا تُعَذِّبُوا خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, do not punish the creatures of Allah. The major point of reference here is that Al-Imam al-Bukhari placed this hadith under the chapter that we have a command from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam that أُكْسُوهُمْ مِمَّا تَلْبَسُونَ, provide them clothes from what you wear. So our servants, our nannies, our drivers, and all of these, let's not make them go in tattered clothing. Why are you the boss? You sit at the back of the car, you wear the state of the art clothes, and then your drivers and your subordinates, you know, as you have left them, you are careless about them. Even their salaries don't come to them as is appropriate. Sometimes it is deliberate by way of punishing them. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wala tu'adhibu khalqallah, don't punish the creatures of Allah who give them their rights. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think we can move straight away to the next chapter, Babu Sibabil Abid, the chapter about abusing and insulting the slaves. We had read a chapter that it is prohibited to cuff them and ascribe their face to ugliness. That is specific regarding the face. Don't say that your servant or slave or subordinate is ugly. Look, you ugly idiot. We are used to saying that. Let us stop it, no matter your status. Don't ascribe ugliness to something that Allah has created and is beautiful. Here, it is generally talking about insults. Some women are used to insulting fellow women like them who only work as cooks. In fact, in some cases, those cooks may be elderly, older than these our women. But because your own husband today is the millionaire, that's why you think you have an audacity to insult the mama, the woman who has come to help you, to wash your clothes, to clean your toilets, to clean your kitchen and cook for you. Don't insult these people. It is an act of sin. This has come under the chapter in our book, Al-Adabul Mufrad, Babu Sibabil Abid, the chapter regarding insulting and abusing our slaves. That is hadith number 189. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that hadith from his sheikh. He said, Haddathana Adam, Qala Haddathana Shu'ba, Qala Haddathana Wa'silun al-Ahdabu, Qala Samitu al-Ma'mura ibn Suwaydin yakul, Ra'aytu Aba Dharrin wa alayhi hullatun, وعلى غلامه حلة فسألناه عن ذلك فقال إني ساببت رجلا فشكاني إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال للنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أعيرته بأمه؟ قلت نعم. ثم قال إن إخوانكم خولكم جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم فمن كان أخوه تحت يديه فليطعمه مما يأكل وليلبسه مما يلبس ولا تكلفوهم ما يغلبهم فإن كلفتموهم ما يغلبهم فأعينوهم. الإمام البخاري reported this from his Sheikh Adam ibn Abi Iyas. Adam ibn Abi Iyas, we had read a number of his hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He is the Sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith, Adam ibn Abi Iyas. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Haddathana Adam. He is reporting from Amir al-Mu'minin fil hadith, Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj. He said, Haddathana Shu'ba. Qala Haddathana Wasil. Al-Imam Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj is reporting from Wasilun ibn Hibban al-Asadi. Wasil ibn Hibban al-Asadi al-Ahdab. He said, Sami'tu al-Ma'mur. Wasil ibn Hibban al-Ahdab said, Sami'tu al-Ma'mur. Sami'tu al-Ma'rur. I heard Ma'rur ibn Suwayd. Ma'rur ibn
Suwayd. Not enough time to read. Read one book in 15 minutes.
Ma'rur ibn Suwayd said, Ra'aytu Aba Zarrin wa alayhi hullatun wa ala gulamihi hullatun. I saw Abu Zarrin. We remember the full name of Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari, and that is Jundub ibn Junada. Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari, he is from among the early people who came into Islam. Jundub ibn Junada. He has a tribe, Banu Ghifar. He's from Banu Ghifar. The entirety of that tribe came into Islam through the efforts of Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari, radiallahu anhu, Jundub ibn Junada. Ma'rur is the tabi'i of this hadith. And Ma'rur, he has a virtue that Allah blessed him with. He was said to have lived for about 120 years, and still he did not have a gray hair, Ma'rur ibn Suwayd. He lived for about 120 years. He did not have a gray hair. Neither did we lose a teeth, Ma'rur ibn Suwayd. He was the one who saw Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari, and that occurrence happened at Ar-Rabza. Ar-Rabza is a place not far away from Medina, where Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari took residence in the later times of his life by way of avoiding fitna. Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari, radiallahu anhu, was wearing hulla. The hulla is a material, any material that has an upper and lower garment is called what? Hulla. So when you wear your buba and sokoto, if they are of the same material and color, it is called hulla. If you wear your kaftan up and down, if it is there from the same material, they are called hulla. Arabs refer to any material up and down made of the same material. They are referred to as what? Hulla. And they like it. It's one of the pricey way to dress. They respect that you dress such that what you wear above and what you wear below are of the same material. They refer to that as what? Hulla. Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari was wearing a hulla. Wa'ala gulamihi hullatu. And his slave was also wearing the hulla. Abu Zarrin was wearing hulla. His slave was also wearing hulla. Fasa'alnahu an dhalik. So we began to ask him, why is it like that? You wear the same kind of thing that your slave was wearing. why are you wearing just the same kind of material that your slave is wearing? Faqala Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari then gave an answer and said, Inni sababtu rajulan fashakani ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inni sababtu rajula. Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari wanted to explain why was he wearing a material that was like the material of his slave. So he said, what happened was that during the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, Inni sababtu rajula, I insulted a man. Fashakani ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he reported me to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. If we go to other reports of this hadith, Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari had insulted that man. And in that insult, it involved the murder of the man. In other reports, it said that Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari said, Ya Yabna Sauda, you the son of a black man, or you the son of a black woman. So this, the abuse, the insult came to the mother of that person. And it happened, may Allah forgive Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu. It happened in other reports of this hadith, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got information regarding this and saw Abu Dharrin, he was asking Abu Dharrin, why did you do that? And it is also in this report. He says, فَلَكِلْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The man reported to the Prophet. So when I met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَالَ لِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The Prophet said to me, أَعَيَّرْتَهُ لِأُمِّهِ. Are you insulting him and mentioning his mother? When he said this, Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari explained why that insult came, that occurs in the reports of Al-Imam Muslim regarding this hadith. What happened is, was that man, according to Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari, said, Qultu ya Rasulallah, man sabba rijala, sabbu abahu wa ummahu. Whoever abuses people and curses them, the people, when they return the curse, they add his mother and his father. The Arabs at that time, don't forget, Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari was from the earliest amongst those who accepted Islam. The Arab culture went upon a practice. If you insult one man, when you are replying that insult, you don't stop at the man. You mention his father and his mother. That was why Abu Dharrin did what he did. It was a common thing with them. If you insulted him, if he is returning the insult, it will not stop at you. It will insult you and then it will mention either your father or your mother. We have this practice around us these days. This is from the practice of the days of Jahiliyyah. Don't insult a person and direct that insult to his father or to his mother. We fathers too do it, especially in Yoruba land. You find a child commit an offense. The father will insult that boy and add his mother to it. Let us genuinely stop this practice. Don't insult a child and add his mother to it. That was what Abu Dharrin did. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam ascribed that practice to the days of Jahiliyyah. Avoid it. Be sure that you consciously do not insult anybody and mention the mother of that person. But there's an issue here. Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari was mentioning these incidents because he wanted to tell them why he was wearing the same kind of hulla and his slave was wearing that same hulla. So the precedence to that was this event that he mentioned. I insulted one man. I mentioned his mother. And what happened was that he had insulted me before. So I insulted him and I mentioned his mother. This mentioning of Abu Dharrin was a mentioning of something that he had done in the past that was wrong. The scholars say a person can mention something he did in the past that was wrong if there's a pressing benefit for it. The benefit in this case with Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari Al-Ghifari was that he was mentioning what happened that made the Prophet to make a statement. So it was not as if he was mentioning it by way of popularizing that mistake that he had made. Radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got aware of what he had did and asked him, A'ayyartahu bi ummihi? Are you abusing that man? I'm mentioning his mother. Qultu na'am. Say yes, O Messenger of Allah. When I abused him, I mentioned his mother. But what happened was that that man was also abusing us. And our culture was that man sabba rijal sabbu abahu wa ummahu. Any person who abused the people, they abused his mother and his father too. So he was trying to give an excuse for what he had done. Radiallahu anhu. And then the Prophet said, Thumma qala, from the things the Prophet said to Abu Zarrin on that occasion. Don't forget that Abu Zarrin, radiallahu anhu, had called that man Ibn Sauda, the son of a black woman. Abu Zarrin had mentioned to that person that you son of a black woman. So the most likely thing was that that person that he abused was a slave or was previously a slave. Then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna ikhwanakum khawalukum. Inna ikhwanakum khawalukum. Certainly, ikhwanakum, your brothers, khawalukum, they are your servants. The ulama say this expression is that khawalukum, ikhwanukum, this is mubtada'u and khabaruna. Khawalukum, khawal, your khawal, khawalun are our slaves. Limada? Yatakhawaluna umurana. Our slaves, yatakhawalun, yani yuslihun. They better our affairs. They help our affairs. A person who helps your affair, who serves you, is your khawal. So your servants are your khawalukum. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, the expression was supposed to be khawalukum ikhwanukum. Why? He wants to tell us the position of our slaves and our servants. Khawalukum ikhwanukum. Your slaves and your servants, they are your brothers. But he said here, radiallahu alayhi salatu wasalam, inna, he placed with a particular emphasis, certainly, khawalukum. He now started talking about ikhwan. Inna ikhwanakum, certainly your brothers. This is some sort of bringing forward what should come behind. What should come behind is that ikhwanukum should come behind and khawalukum should come in front, so that it should be inna khawalakum ikhwanukum. Certainly your servants are your brothers. For here he said, inna ikhwanakum khawalukum, certainly your brothers. The ulama say because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, لأجل الاهتمام ببيان الأخوة, he made ihtimam, he wants to emphasize the necessity of brotherhood. So he brought it forward. He wants to emphasize the necessity of brotherhood. Between who and who? Between us, we, those who have servants and subordinates, or slaves and our slaves. So he said, as if to say, we don't have any other brothers except these people. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna ikhwanakum, certainly your brothers, khawalukum, those are your slaves. Your slaves, your servants, they are your brothers. Ja'alahum Allahu tahta aydikum. Allah has placed them on your hands. Ja'alahum Allahu, your slaves, your servants, Allah has placed them under your hands, under your control. Ja'alahum Allahu tahta aydikum. Allah has placed your servants under your hand. They are under your control. فَمَنْ كَانَ أَخُوهُ تَحْتَ يَدَيْهِ. So any one of you who has his brother under his hand. Look at this connection of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. When I read this hadith yesterday, I said this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Western world abuses. Look at how he does and encourages and commands his followers to handle their slaves with a lot of care and respect. And with a lot of mercy and dignity. It took the world a lot of meetings and conventions of United Nations to give any kind of a respect to servants and slaves and prisoners of war. All of what we are mentioning now includes the prisoners of war, the POWs. Look at how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam encourages the people to relate and deal with their slaves. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So tomorrow they will say, oh, Islam is oppressing the people. I usually say it. We don't need a group of Muslims to start saying that people should deal well with their servants or their subordinates. That is a society, association of or World Muslim Congress to take care of slaves. We don't need it. All we need is that let the Muslims go back to their deen. Let us come back to our religion. When we come back to our deen, Islam has placed everybody in his place and has encouraged you or commanded you to relate everybody with everybody as it is appropriate. You don't need to start settling it out. Just come back to Islam like the Quran says, Udkhulu fi silmi kafatan. Come back to Islam completely. We don't need women must be free organizations. We only need to come back to Islam. If you come back to Islam completely, you will treat your women correctly. If you come back to Islam completely, you will treat your children correctly. If you come back to Islam completely, you will treat your slaves, your servants, and your subordinates correctly. So it's not about different organizations, different struggle groups for each of what you need to do. Just come back to Islam. This is what Islam and the Quran says. Udkhulu fi silmi. Come to Islam. Enter into Islam completely. You don't need an organization to start propagating that the people need to observe Salah. Tell them to come into Islam complete. It's a full package. Islam is full, complete. That's why Allah mentioned its completeness and its perfection. So you don't need to start bringing parts of it out. No, come into it fully. That's why he says, وَلَا تَتَّبِيُ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. The ulama say every kind of digression away from the full path of Islam is from the footsteps of Shaitan. So the more the digression, then the further away the individual has followed the footsteps of Shaitan. Look at these messages from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Inna ikhwanakum khawalukum. Certainly your brothers, those are certainly your slaves. Your slaves, your servants are certainly your brothers. Ja'alahum Allahu tahta aydikum. Allah has placed them below your hands, under your hands, under your control. فَمَنْ كَانَ أَخُوهُ تَحْتَ يَدَيْهِ. So any one of you whose brother is under his hands, فَلْيُطْعِمُهُ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ. Let him provide him food from the like of what he eats. وَلْيُلْبِسْهُ مِمَّا يَلْبَسُ. Let him also provide him clothing from the like of what he clothes himself. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, وَلَا تُكَلِّفُوهُمْ مَا يَغْلِبُهُمْ. لَا تُكَلِّفُوهُمْ مَا يَغْلِبُهُمْ. Do not place burdens upon them. Do not burden them with works. Don't give them works, ma yaglibuhum, that will overrun them. Don't give them works that will overpower them. People do this a lot. People even do it to their stepsons and stepdaughters. Islam prohibits it regarding your slave and your servant. That it is prohibited regarding your children is with a greater reason, whether step or bare floor. Don't treat your children and place burdens upon children and people under your control beyond their abilities. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تُكَلِّفُوهُمْ مَا يَغْلِبُهُمْ. Do not place, لَا تُكَلِّفُوهُمْ مَا يَغْلِبُهُمْ. Do not place things that will overburden them, that will overrun their abilities. لَا تَأْمُرُوهُمْ بِعَمَلٍ مَا تَصِيرُ قُدْرَتُهُمْ فِيهِ مَغْلُوبَةً. لَا تَأْمُرُوهُمْ. Do not give them commands to do particular jobs. تَصِيرُ قُدْرَتُهُمْ فِيهِ مَغْلُوبَةً. It will now happen that their ability, as far as that job is concerned, becomes overwhelmed. Do not overwhelm them with jobs. Don't pack the entire plate of the house and leave it with the house help. You, this girl, after all, you are receiving your pay. You must wash the entirety of these clothes. Do not overburden them with work. Do not overburden them with work. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, Abu al-Abbas, he said, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tukallifuhum ma la yutikun. Do not burden your servants, your slaves, your subordinates, ma la yutikun, with jobs that go beyond their ability. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi, do not burden ma la yutikun with the things that are beyond their ability. La tukallifuhum ma la yutikun. It says wa huwa nahyu, and this is a prohibition. It says wa zahiruhu at-tahrim, and the apparent deduction that we can make from this prohibition is that it is haram. It is prohibited for you to give that little young girl, that nanny. She's the one doing the sitting for your child. She's the one cooking. She's the one washing. She's the one, and then you set a camera in the house to watch her do all the jobs. You don't want to see her sleep. You don't want to see her rest. You want her to walk. We can't even say like a slave, because Islam prohibits that the slave is prohibited to be overburdened with jobs. How about people you have, whose services you have just hired, like your nanny, or your cook, or your house cleaner, or your house help? La tukallifuhum ma yaglibuhum. Do not place on them things that will overburden them. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, فَإِنْ كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ مَا يَغْلِبُهُمْ. If it happens that you give them a job, you know this job is much for them. It will be a burden to them. It will overburden and overwhelm them. فَأَعِينُوهُمْ. Then go and help them. فَأَعِينُوهُمْ. Go and wash those plates with them. Go and wash those clothes with them. You are a woman, whatever it is, the body of your child, of any kind of a debt, you remove the cloth and wear another one. Why? You have a girl that will wash it. If you were the one washing it, you will not do that. But because you have a girl, you give 20,000 naira at the end of the month. Don't overburden that girl with a job. If you do it, no problem. She will receive from your salat and your zakat and your hijab and your niceness to your own parents and your kids on the day of Qiyamah. That is the consequence. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, la tukallifuhum ma yaglibuhum. Do not give them jobs. Don't give them jobs, yaglibuhum, that will overpower them. Fa in kallaftumuhum ma yaglibuhum. If it happens that you had set aside jobs for them, that is beyond their abilities and that will overrun them, فَعَيْنُهُمْ. Then in that case, أَعِينُهُمْ. Help them. Help them upon the job. if you have given them jobs that have gone beyond their abilities, there's a point of reference in these ahadith. Some of the people can think that, well, the hadith have always been talking about food and clothes alone. How about other needs like rest? I am sure we all know workers need good rest. How about the issues of rest? Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, in his sharh of Sahih Muslim al-Minhaj, he said, rahimahullah, وَنَبَّهَ بِالطَّعَامِ وَالْكِسْوَةِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْمُؤَنِي الَّتِي يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهَا الْعَبِيدِ نَبَّهَ بِالطَّعَامِ وَالْكِسْوَةِ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only mentioned the food and clothing عَلَى سَائِرِ الْمُؤَنِي. Regarding, he mentioned that over the rest of the basic needs of the individual, he called our attention. He mentioned food and clothing by way of pointing our attention to other things. They have other needs. If you don't fulfill those needs too, your good deeds will be taken in recompense for that person on the day of Qiyamah. They have other needs, like good rest, good place to sleep in the night. You shouldn't be under the AC if your environment is warm, or you are under the warmer if your environment is cold, and you leave that poor girl at the sitting room without any form of a care. You don't care. Why? She's after all a house help. Fear Allah. If you fall short in any of these dealings, your good deeds will be taken and handed over to this young girl on the day of Qiyamah. Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari told the people that the reason you see my slave and myself wearing the same clothes is this hadith. So the same reason, the reason why you see myself and my slave wearing the same clothes was this reason. But why have we cited this hadith under this chapter hadith? The point is about sibabul abid, abusing our slaves. We are prohibited from abusing our slaves. We saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard that Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari had abused the slave, he asked Abu Zarrin, "Ayyartahu bi ummihi?" Did you truly abuse him, mentioning his mother? Faqultu na'am. Said, yes, Messenger of Allah, I did. But the excuse was that we were used to, when a man abuses us, we want to return the abuse. We mentioned their parents. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another report of this hadith in Sahih Muslim, he said, innaka mur'un fika jahiliya. You still have some traits of jahiliya with you. So this makes us understand that we should not abuse our slaves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as elderly and as eminent as Abu Zarrin al-Ghifari was, radiallahu anhu, when he abused a slave, he said he still has jahiliyyah with him. If you abuse a slave or your servant or your subordinate, you just go on abusing your servant or subordinate as you will. What will we say you have? It is definitely from the aspects of jahiliyyah. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Don't throw away your good deeds with insulting your subordinates and abusing them. Don't insult them. Don't abuse them. Don't mock them. If there is need for discipline, go on and discipline. But some of the people take joy and pride in insulting people who work with them. They call them evil names, Olori Buruku, Oloshie, and all of this, with every expression. I have a relative who is like this. She always abuses everybody. These people are not her slaves. They are just young girls who come to stay with her. But when she talks to them, she's very, very vulgar. These kinds of practice is common with a lot of women, especially the so-called career women, and the women who think that their husbands have attained and gotten the entirety of the world on their hands. The pride puffs them up and and they abuse every young girl who comes to work with them. Of course, that young girl has come to seek the money from you and your husband. Don't worry, as you abuse them, they are also taking over your salat, your fasting, your sadaqah, your zakah. It is ready for them on the day of Qiyamah. You will give it in exchange for those insults and abuses that you give to them. So let us stop insulting and abusing our servants. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make repenting very easy for us regarding these matters. Whatever we do for His sake, may Allah reward it and help us to be amongst His sincere servants. For the sake of Allah, each and every one of us should look inwards and see and find means of correcting ourselves. These classes are not to call our attention to our faults. Just that. They are to call our attention and wake us all up to our duties and our responsibilities and make us keep in mind things that we need to avoid. These are the basic reasons behind these classes. It's not just about reading the Arabic and explaining it. It is meant for each and every one of us to go back home, go back to the drawing boards, and make amendments where need be before the time and day when we will not be able to make these kinds of amendments again. I beg Allah to forgive each and every one of us. Abu Yusuf, can we have one or two questions today?
We have some questions here.
Bismillah.
This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What about a husband who refuses to help in any way in terms of the house care, caring for the kids in the name of I'm working and earning money for you, but in recent you do not have time to help others and attend to other needs aside his family. What should woman do? She is homeschooling the kids too, which make the work overwhelming for her.
Well, I think that firstly, women should understand this fact. The job of the home is the job of the woman. The job of the home is the job of the woman. I usually say when women are outside running about looking for money, despite the fact that their husbands feed and clothe and maintain them, they are still running about. I say that's because they have left the job on the home front. When a woman is at home, she has a lot of work to do. She has the children to care for. She has the home to clean. She has food to cook. She has herself to keep clean. She needs to be clean and neat for herself. When a woman is truly a wife, wallahi, she will not have time to be able to be running about, selling bag and shoe, flying about the corners. When women do that, you will see that the basic duty of taking care of the home will fail. It's very common. I'm just talking about the women now, please. I'll come back to the men. So the home front will fail when the woman abandons her home. This is the home that the woman will be asked about. So be sure that you are there for your job, for your home, to care for your home. It's your basic duty and your responsibility. Now, the man, on the other hand, has a duty. One thing many men run away from today is to take full responsibility of the basic needs of the homes. You feed your wives, you clothe them, you pay their basic bills, their light bills, accommodation bills, and all of this. These are duties of men. The people who deserve to be referred to as men are people who do this job. There are those who still be waiting for their wives to make a contribution to it. This is not a man as far as the Sharia is concerned. men are those who truly fulfill these kinds of jobs. When a man does, these are the jobs for each of the two groups. Now, it does not mean that if the man returns from his job, he is not free from the duty of looking for what to eat. For example, he is not in the home having to do a job. Perhaps he brought those jobs home from the office, and he's on the computer busy still trying to find solution to a paper he will deliver in the office tomorrow morning. And then the wife begins to say, help me to tie diaper. This man is upon something that is obligatory on him, but she's inviting him to a matter that is supererogatory as far as the man is concerned, but compulsory for her as far as the woman is concerned. So he may not be able to do so. If he is able to do so by way of being nice, being good, being kind, the man should do it. Oh, let me help you do this. Sometimes, wallahi, the very good man, the wife will not tell him. She will not tell him. Once he looks at her, he knows that she has become overwhelmed. Sometimes the job he is doing, he may have good enough space. And then he will leave that space and then go to help the woman, take care of that need within that time. So these are the things we should put right specs in square holes so that we don't put blames and point fingers where we shouldn't. If it is within this framework that the woman becomes overwhelmed and the man is free, then he can help her. But no woman should think that from the job of the man is to tidy up. Is not his job essentially. I think it should be clear. These days, women begin to even count it as one of the things they must look for in a husband. They are looking for a husband who will be able to cook for them at the kitchen. This is not Islam that has taught us this. So. Why? They say because the Prophet used to help them at home. When he was free from the job outside, he is free from the job outside. He is free from all that major needs in the home that is required of him to fulfill as a man, then he helps. This is what we are saying too. If the man is free from any basic job that may prevent him from helping the woman in her own basic job, then he comes to help her. That is from the aspects of compassion and kindness. But that the woman thinks that from the job is that once you are inside this house, we must be in the kitchen together. I think that is drawing, taking it too far, that the many of the women have begun to take it too far now, that, oh, they want a man that he'll be cooking together, they'll be washing clothes together. I think this kind of a man must look at himself properly. If he's not careful, he will fail in very major responsibilities that a man should do. The women now look for men that they'll be in the washroom together. Maybe when she's washing the toilets and cleaning up the kitchen too, they'll be doing it together. If he has the time to do it and he wants to do it and he does it, he'll be rewarded for it. But don't see it as a thing that a man must do for you, O woman. And the man too, be compassionate enough to be helpful to your wife when you see that she has been overwhelmed by a job and she needs help. Be helpful, even if not your wife. Don't we help people outside when we see that they are overwhelmed? Don't we help people outside? So if it is your wife, why not help her if you are in the position to do so? We are not saying that it's your job, but you can do it if you are free. You have the time, you have the opportunity. It is from compassion for a man to do so. At the same time, the woman should not think that, oh, my husband is coming from the office and he has a job you have left for him. This is not from the mentality, a balanced mentality from the wife of a Muslim. I hope that I have tried to explain the both sides as far as these kinds of issues are concerned. They come up repeatedly. Was why I thought to give it some sort of an attention. Allahu a'lam.
Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen Aba Abdul Rahman.
Another one says, you mentioned the prohibition of a woman abusing her cooks, slaves. What about a woman who abuses curses and insults her co-wives? Is this allowed? If not, what advice will you give to women who fall into this? Jazakumullah khair.
I mean, it is prohibited, my dear brother Abu Sumayya. It is a prohibited thing when you insult people. It is from the aspects of fisk. If you find a person who is given to insulting people, it shows that he is a fasik or she's a fasika. From the things that shows that a person is a person of fisk, a sinful, disobedient person to Allah. From the symbols of it, from the signs of it, is that the person is full of insults for people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sibabul Muslim Fusuk. Insulting and abusing a Muslim is from the aspects of fisk. So when a person becomes used to this act of fisk, he becomes known for acts of disobedience to Allah. It is not lawful at all. So if you say, I don't care, I will still insult him, or I will still insult her, no problem. Just know that that salah you observe today, Salatul Fajr, your rakat al-fajri, and the rest of the good deeds you are observing now, observe them very well. Make sure that they are good deeds. The people you insult will be given those deeds on the day of Qiyamah. And if, unfortunately, you don't perform those good deeds correctly, the sins of those people you insult, according to you, insulting them, their own sins will be heaped on you if you don't have good deeds that they can take from you. Their sins will be taken and placed upon you on the day of judgment. Go on with your pride and your arrogance. You are the most beautiful and richest woman in the world. Insult and abuse whomever you will, and then you will see the repercussions for that on the day of Qiyamah. So I like to encourage myself and every one of us to keep away from insulting and abusing the people. It is from the symbols of fisk. When you find someone is always insulting, it's abusive, or she's insulting, abusing her co-wives, cursing them and all of these, she should understand that they will be taken from. Even if they offend you, it is not to resort to abuse and use of vulgar words. Don't do this, because when you do it, we the Muslims on the earth now, we know you to be from the people of fisk. And on the day of Qiyamah, you will lose the rewards for your good deeds, or that you will have sins heaped on you on the day of Qiyamah. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect each and every one of us and forgive our shortcomings. Let us behave like the companions who regularly return to the path of seeking for forgiveness and repentance when they make mistakes. If you're a woman and you abuse someone, when the chips are down, repent and seek for means of appeasing that person that you have abused. It will lessen the burdens of sin as far as these issues are concerned. Allahu alam. I think we can stop here, Abu Abdul Rahman.
Naam, shukran. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen wa iyyakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.